The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to My Two Cents. My name is Marianne Stanley, and I invite you to look at some of today's most pressing issues through an entirely different lens than that used by the corporate-owned media. Our focus will be on old-time journalism. In other words, on getting to the truth by referencing facts and sources. Stay tuned and see if you've had a hunger that nothing else could satisfy. Until now, that is. One of the signs of a society's collapse is the decline of its educational system. I would be surprised if most people in this country don't recognize that our schools are not what they used to be. As someone who has taught both high school and at the college level, I'm appalled at the difference in students today. For the most part, and overall, the students' ability has declined, not in their innate ability, of course, but in their ability to do critical thinking. Teachers aren't able to teach what they need to teach when they have to teach to the test, when they have to teach to some artificial standard for reading or for math. Then the students aren't getting the well-rounded education that's so necessary for a society to be and to remain strong. Children need recess. They need phys ed. They should have access to music and to art. Almost all of this has been eliminated from the majority of American schools today. It's a tragedy. That's where the creativity of each child can come out. That's where the mental ability of each child can flourish. Instead, we're creating these little automatons who don't know anymore. They don't understand how to conjugate a verb. They don't know how to spell something correctly. They don't know where a semicolon goes. And this is so sad when you see it as a teacher, to see that it limits the ability of each student or of a child to express himself or herself adequately. Schools should be left to educators. We have too many people running schools who have never taught a day in their lives. The people in Congress who make these rules and enforce such things as No Child Left Behind, which actually translates into Many Children Left Behind, as educators will tell you, because we are no longer able to teach the kinds of skills that are necessary. We don't teach analytical thinking. We can't allow children anymore under these inane No Child Left Behind rules. We no longer are able to just let the students guide where the conversation needs to go, to answer their curiosity, to satisfy their mental abilities. School should be a place of pleasure. It should be a place where each child can find his or her best abilities and grow them, a place where they can shine, a place where they can be recognized, a place where they can establish their own individual identities, to be able to see their differences, to be able to compare themselves with others, not in a way that makes one feel superior or inferior to the other, but where they can see that there is this wide texture and color that gives us all something special to bring to this world of ours. We are so in need of a world enriched by the individuality and by the potential of each of us that it's a crime to see American education go by the wayside. It is not being properly funded. So many teachers have to provide their school supplies. So many teachers have to allow the children to share their own textbooks because there aren't enough for each classroom. Textbooks no longer are being evaluated by experts in each field. Many times it's being driven by ideological factors. We're seeing things like Thomas Jefferson being taken out of some history textbooks because they happen to disagree with his more liberal philosophy. When this happens, we don't have an educational system anymore. We are seeing collapse. The schools in this country need to be publicly funded all schools should be public schools except for the religious private schools, which can then provide for people of a particular religious persuasion the additional values of that religion. But other than that, the schools should be well-funded, they should be consistently funded, and they should be constructed in the neighborhoods so that a sense of community can develop. We are losing so much of that. It used to be called a front porch syndrome, where people would be able to sit on their front porches, they would be able to talk to each other, they would know who their neighbors were. In a school, you would pretty much know the other students in your class, and in some schools, even in the entire school. We just got word in my city that if a child lives at a distance of less than 2 miles from their school, there'll be no buses for them. Now, if I were a parent who still had children of that age, I would be appalled, and if I had no transportation of my own to provide for my child, I would be terrified. Here we are in a time when we're seeing increased pedophilia, we're seeing an increase in predators, we're seeing an increase in crime, and we're supposed to send our little ones out to walk up to 2 miles each direction to school, even when it's dark on the winter days? I don't understand. We're a society that has plenty of money. Obviously, if we can spend $2 billion a week for our supposed wars against terror that are being conducted overseas when we have no threat that is being made overtly to the United States, but we can spend $2 billion a week, but we cannot put gasoline in buses to take our children to and from school, the foundation for who they will become as our future citizens. I don't know what to say at a time like this, except that there needs to be a public outcry and a coming together on educational issues. Public schools need to be available to each and every child in our country. Charter schools are not public schools. Charter schools should not be getting busing. They should not be getting federal funds. If somebody wants to create their own private school, they should be responsible for maintaining it, for growing it, for advertising. They should be responsible for getting the students the proper transportation to and from the school. They should be providing for the food in the lunchroom. How charter schools ever got to be publicly funded when they have become a source of further segregation in the United States is beyond me. It's time to go back to a system of public education where teachers are not held accountable for the failures of our society, where they don't have to worry that they're going to be terminated on a whim or on the word of one person. It isn't the fault of a teacher if a child comes to school too hungry to learn, when there isn't food at home, when there isn't cooling on hot days or warmth on cold days. You can't blame a teacher for being unable to teach a child who is sleeping at their desk because they can't sleep at home for whatever reason, whether it's a drug situation or the parents work all night or the child is troubled. It is not the teacher's job to raise other people's children. It's the teacher's job to teach subject matter and to teach it proficiently. Somehow we're not looking at the basis. We don't dig deep enough to see what the underlying foundational problem is, and we're way too inclined to look at a symptom and then to call that the cause. And it's not. The cause of our failing school system isn't the schools. The cause of our failing school system is the lack of our appreciation of education. It's our tolerating these costly defense budgets that are put into place every year that eat up most of the money, our taxpayer money, money that would be much better spent on our families in the United States, on our homes, on our children, on our schools, on feeding the people who need food, on giving medical care to those who need medical care. So it isn't that we don't have the money to fund our schools. It's that we don't have the will to fund them, or we don't feel we have the clout to make changes in Congress that would allow the money to go to the places that need it most and where we have the most important reasons to send that money. It is so important that we send money into the homes of the people of this country so that they can turn their attention to raising their children properly, so they're not struggling to have anything to put on the table. Just today, I was at a neighbor's house, and the neighborhood where I live has gone from being middle class to lower middle class to poverty stricken, back up to lower middle class. It's bounced around over the years. But a neighbor has a 13-year-old boy, and when he came to the door, when we took a birthday cake over there for his sister, he was eating a potato. And the potato was his breakfast and lunch, and he said what he had yesterday was potatoes. You cannot be healthy eating potatoes. You need vegetables. You need fruits. You need protein. And it's so unbelievable that we sit here in the country that used to be the world's greatest country. We used to be the land of milk and honey. And we allow families to live in such abject poverty that their children suffer like that, that their children become sickened and unwell people in our country. And it's going to cost us more in the long run because these are the people who are going to go into our emergency rooms. They're the people who are going to have all kinds of physical ailments. They're going to develop diabetes because they're not going to have healthy foods to keep their sugar levels and their insulin levels in balance. We're so short-sighted as Americans often, and it's time we wake up. It's time we shake ourselves awake. It's time we take a whole new, fresh look at everything we're doing and say, why in the world are we doing this? Why can't we look further ahead and see consequences? One of the signs, one of the hallmarks of being a teenager with such crappy judgment is that lack of ability to understand the consequences of their action because they haven't developed their prefrontal cortex of their brain, which is where judgment resides. So they don't have that judgment. They can't look ahead. They can't think ahead. But can't we? We're the adults. We're the ones in charge of our society. Can't we begin to look ahead to the consequences of our action, whether it's fracking and destroying our environment, fouling our water and our air, leaving the children and our grandchildren with no earth to inherit, with no soil that is fit to grow anything, with no foods that aren't genetically engineered or contaminated, with no water that they can drink? We cannot afford to be teenagers all our lives. I've heard the United States described as an adolescent carrying a machine gun. In other words, we are so well armed, we have enough money, but we just don't have the maturity to handle the power that we possess. It's time we either share that power, back off, and get ourselves out of other countries, and turn our attention, pour our money into our own future, into our children, into our families, into the citizens here. If we don't do that, we are going to create a catastrophe. We used to be the beacon of justice, and we're not anymore. So we need to take care of our educational system. That's a great place to start. Take some of that money from our bloated, grotesque Defense Department. If we've got over 9,000 nuclear bombs, we don't need more weapons. We don't need any more contracts allowing some of our largest corporations, our large corporate contractors, to create and to build more of something that's already obsolete, which we do time and time again. We don't need that. What we need is decency. What we need is more humanity. What we need is people to stand up and say, no more. Stop this. This is madness. Give us back our neighborhoods. Give us back our neighborhood schools. Give us back an educational system that respects the teachers and pays them adequate wages. Give us back our unions that protect workers' rights. Give us back our children. Don't let them live in such poverty. When one in every four children in this country lives in poverty, we have a serious and yet still unaddressed problem that needs to be addressed immediately. So we have all of these things that are confronting us right now. If we want a good educational system, again, I say, turn the Department of Education in the cabinet over to educators. Turn schools over to educators. Let them tell you what they need, and then hearken to it. Believe them. They know what they're talking about. And it's certainly not within the government's bank of knowledge to know what is best for children and how best to educate them. We need a standard curriculum again. It should include sports. It should include recess so the kids can get out and burn off their energy. It should include adequate food, including breakfast and lunch, for the children who need it. It should include music and an introduction to art. It needs to include phys ed. It needs to include time for teachers to address whatever needs come up in their classroom at the time, to be able to follow the discussions that come up at the time in whatever subject they happen to be teaching. That is how children grow and stretch their minds. If we don't have thinkers in this country, we don't have a country anymore. The people who founded this country were so well educated. That's what made them outstanding. And as outstandingly educated men, they were able to craft incredible foundations for a newly birthed country. It's time we do that again. It's time we put our money where it most matters, and that is into our future. That means into our children. So that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Your feedback is always welcome. Just email us at shout@theflypod.com. Until next time, this has been My Two Cents with Marianne Stanley.